Righty-ho there, infidels. It is 5:07, 7 minutes after the hour, final hour of the show here in this glorious, beautiful Tuesday afternoon. Yeah, I know. I'm just trying to, you know, if I say it often enough, you know, maybe this will come out. Nevertheless, it's great to have you here around the old Heterodyne. We get ready to yap it up a little bit. I do have a little news here. Unfortunate news. The Washington Times reporting, defying a veto threat from President Obama, the Senate voted today to preserve language that would give the U.S. military a crack at Al-Qaeda operatives captured in the United States, even if they are American citizens. Well, how expansive of Stephen Dynan for that report. We brought this to your attention yesterday, the day before, numerous stories all around the country that the Senate was about ready to take up this magnificent little chunk of legislation that would essentially take a bite out of the Posse Comitatus Act and allow the military, at the direction of the president, and I guess anyone else who was able to give them orders, to go around and arresting American citizens and treating them to the same type of confinement and unconstitutional behavior and so on that that we've exercised on others. Well, you know, when that type of thing happens, I look over at my bookshelf back at the house, and I see Freedom in Chains, Lost Rights, The Bush Betrayal, Attention Deficit Democracy, Feeling, you know, just the entire Bovard library, the works of Jim Bovard, who has spent an awful lot of time and years scribbling things that informed his readers of how the government, a massive pack of termites, was chomping away at your rights. Well, here's another bite out of the proverbial sandwich. And I thought the first thing we ought to do before the ink is dry is get Jim on here to kick it around with us a little bit. He's already done some stuff on this a couple of years ago, so this isn't really big news, but it's certainly is a big disappointment. Let's talk. James, welcome to the show. How you doing, man?
Hey, Brian. Thanks for having me on.
Always a pleasure. I didn't know whether you'd heard the news before. Yeah. Katie gave you a jingle that I got a picture of Senator Carl Levin here, and he's just as happy as a clam. They got this sucker passed 61-37.
Yeah, I just look on his face. It looks like he has not been eating any prunes lately. But you know, the thing that was interesting is looking at how this vote broke down. Most of the Democrats voted against it, and 44 GOP senators who put this through. There were only two, Rand Paul and Mark Kirk of Illinois. That surprised me. Voted against this. Why is the GOP in favor of giving dictatorial powers to the president, who many Republicans think is a socialist dictator to start with? I mean, I just don't understand this. I mean, it seems, well, you know, it's days like this that shake my idealism to the core.
Yeah, I understand. And being as close to the logic-free zone as you are, I can understand just how dangerous that could be. But the comment from Mr. Levin, we are at war with Al-Qaeda, and people determined to be part of Al-Qaeda should be treated as people who are at war with us. What a brilliant insight there. I guess the senator was not aware or chose to ignore the various constitutional protections that were not afforded other American citizens. They were just picked up, thrown in the slammer, and some are still there without benefit of any of the right to a speedy trial, face your accuser. I mean, none of those things that we've come to expect our government to protect, not take apart.
Well, you know, the interesting thing here, I mean, I'm glad the Washington Times got this story up before our show started, but the Washington Times portrays it as only going after Al-Qaeda operatives, mm-hmm. but my impression is it's terrorist suspect, not just Al-Qaeda operative. And if you think back to the history of the first few years after 9/11, roughly 90% of the people the U.S. government accused of having terrorist ties were found to have no such ties. And yet you have all these senators that somehow think that the U.S. military is omniscient as well as absolutely trustworthy, and that it'd be okay to have the Marine Corps going down the street and saying, Looks like a terrorist. Grab. You know, this is the kind of thing which they could even go after talk show host on.
Now, wait a minute. What about political writers?
I don't think that they're worth bothering with anymore.
Well, I know you're already off the Christmas card list of just about every law enforcement agency in Washington, both federal and local. Some of the comments that have been made about Jim Bovard by the FBI, people like that, not very complimentary, which, of course, we take it as a compliment as a result. The interesting thing, too, I mean, John McCain, this whole thing at least was originally portrayed as being kind of a backdoor insertion to get in this legislation in the first place. It does beg the question why Republicans were so gung-ho about this, unless Ron Paul is exactly right and they are the warfare party.
Well, I mean, you know, the I've not yet seen the transcript of the floor debate on this today. I'm looking forward to see that, but it seems as if that the GOP is vested in the idea that that government power is always a good thing unless it's hurting profits. And I don't understand why they would not, you know, there's very few Americans have heard about this provision. This has come up fairly quickly, and I would think that there's going to be a backlash over the next 4 or 5 days as more people say the U.S. Senate vote to do what? Are they out of their minds? I've been wrong on this before, so. But it's just bizarre that there'd be so little discussion or analysis on whether it's a good thing to let the U.S. military start grabbing Americans off the street.
Well, it raises there's a couple of questions. First of all, the Times story points out that the House has already passed its version with a quote strict detainee language unquote. So the Senate vote makes it likely whatever bill finally hits the president's desk will contain the provision. The interesting thing was that early in the story it indicated that the president actually indicated that he would veto this thing. I don't know that he spent a whole lot of time talking about it. He was too busy flying the airplane and going to the basketball game, but they I wonder. In fact, another story said the interesting part now is if the president vetoes it, will there be enough votes to override?
Well, and it's going to be an interesting thing if the GOP has presented Obama a chance to be a hero of civil liberties, which is kind of like, this is like, there are so many horrible things the Obama administration has done on civil liberties, on surveillance and a lot of other things. And all of a sudden, here's this law, and it makes Obama look like the reasonable one. I'm not saying that I expect him to veto this, but it's just, you really have to wonder if how many people on Capitol Hill have a brain, or whether they're all kind of following the mantra of Herman Cain, that what this country needs is a leader, not a reader.
Yeah, well, there is that. I always thought what this country needed was an enema, but that's just me.
Certainly on Capitol Hill.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to hear. It'll be interesting to hear, first of all, just how quickly other members of the media get involved in confronting the various and sundry with the question on how they could actually go. But I don't get the sense that people understand that they are now, if this thing flies and becomes law, now the Senate's passed and the House has passed it, if the president doesn't veto it or if the veto is overridden, that any American citizen walking around could be treated to the same snatch and grab, disappear in the middle of the night thing, just to use the previous Supreme Court decision, if you just smell like a terrorist.
Well, and what folks don't realize is that the government has a long history of painting with a very broad brush on these things. Say, for instance, there's some wacko member of the Libertarian Party who throws a pipe bomb at some high-ranking government official. That might be all that was necessary for the government to start assuming that anybody who's a Libertarian Party member might be a terrorist suspect, and who knows where it would go from there. But it only takes a small, one or two folks to do something, and all of a sudden that sanctifies the government from throwing its net far broader. And what the U.S. Senate wants the government to be able to do is be able to grab people and hold them in secrecy. I mean, if you think of what's happened to Bradley Manning for the last 500 days or so, this is a model for justice these days. And, it's amazing that there's so much history in the U.S. and in many other countries and a lot of authoritarian countries that shows why these things are the absolute death of freedom. And yet, anyhow.
Well, I'm trying to understand why and how the it is, as the Times reports, the White House and its Senate allies objected and tried to block the changes, instead calling for the issue to be studied further. It would seem to me, based on the actions of the administration up to this point, including the Bradley Manning case and some of the other folks, that that they'd be perfectly comfortable with this provision, that they'd actually support it. Is there a is this a move away closer type of strategy here that that is going to negate the any effort for a veto?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the Obama folks are thinking. There is an outside chance that they're sincere in thinking that this is a very bad power to grant to the U.S. military. It's very unwise. It's and it's something that's being done mindlessly by Congress. And it's something that this could boomerang horrendously on the U.S. government. I kind of hate to make such a positive assumption on that, but but seriously, I mean, these folks might have sincere concerns about vesting this quasi-dictatorial power. I mean, you know, habeas corpus, the right to be charged in court and to be able to have a hearing. More or less goes back to 1215. And so, we're coming up on the 800th year anniversary, and
Oh, well, I mean, come on now. You can't start giving credibility to the historical record any more so than judicial precedent. I mean, come on. That would mean that we would actually have to seriously consider the reality of these things in a variety of perceptions, not just what we want to do to score points for the next election.
I agree, which would be completely out of character for any Washington politician.
Totally out of character. I mean, it'd be just as out of character to contradict the faith and confidence I know you have in the entire governmental process.
Well, more or less, yeah. You know, I was thinking of raising a quibble, but now I shut up.
Yeah, well, probably just as well, because we're almost out of time, and I know that you're probably going to want to go off and grab one of those funny beers you're always telling us about.
Well, I picked up another six-pack of Raging Bitch last night, so,
There you go.
And I see a law like this, and I see a bill like this being passed, and I say,
Where's the bottle opener? Yeah, it is rather. I think the thing that probably got to my skepticism and sarcasm and everything else, really hard was all this jazz that the administration was against it. I can't imagine why, if they're so willing to violate the Fourth Amendment as a matter of practice up until this point, now that it would be enshrined in law with Republican support. Why all of a sudden the president would be saying, no, we really don't do that. Is it a control issue, you think? The fact that the military would be, but they would still have to operate under his direction.
Absolutely. And that's the thing which I don't understand so many conservatives supporting this this provision, because this is something, this is dictatorial power here within the U.S. And all that's necessary is to say someone's a terrorist. All that's necessary is to say that some American is a terror suspect, and boom, they're gone. And this is the kind of power that Dick Cheney might have lusted about, but it seemed like there's a lot of people in the Senate who still have that lust. But again, if you look at the record after 9/11, there was just an endless series of false accusations by the U.S. government, including the U.S. military, more so overseas than here, but. I don't know, but it's kind of like that we are obliged to assume that the government is infallible, and I'm mystified by that.
Yeah, that that one does. In fact, any place the government gets involved, the reaction is always it's an overreaction, and one size fits all. And there's an awful lot of folks that get scooped up in the nets and so on that are so, oh, oops, sorry, but you still have to go through the indignity and the embarrassment and the cost and all the rest that goes along with it. Well, it'll be interesting to see how they ultimately filter this thing out, what comes out of the committee between the House and the Senate, and whether or not, if it lines up with the provisions still in there, whether or not Obama will make good on his threat to veto the thing.
Well, I'd be happy to see him veto it. Again, it's funny that the GOP has given Obama a chance to be a hero. And it's hard to think of something as dumb that GOP has done in the last 6 months. On the other hand, there are quite a few other things.
Well, which will give us plenty of things to talk about in the not-too-distant future.
Look forward to it. I mean, this is these are targets that need to be kicked.
That is that is exactly right. Well, enjoy that six pack, James. Always enjoy having you on the show. We'll talk soon.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Brian.
You bet. Jim Bovard, author of Attention Deficit Democracy and a host of other books that should be part of your everyday reading. Unbelievable. The Senate passing that incredibly onerous piece of legislation.